Good morning and welcome to worship at the Steeple on the Beach. Please join me in the opening prayer. God, our helper, our shade, our protector, you are able to give life to the dead, to call into being things that do not exist. We trust in your power to make all things new, to keep us in sunlight and moonlight, along rocky paths and paths unknown, until all our going and coming brings us at last to your kingdom, promised in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. As God set Abram, Sarai, and Lot on a journey, God calls us to follow in trust. God is able to make us more than we have been and blesses us on the way. As Jesus invited Nicodemus to be born again, Christ invites us to become a new creation. Christ calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, and we are saved through him. Now please stand and join me in one of my personal favorite hymns, Holy, Holy, Holy.
This time, let's take a moment to greet our friends and neighbors around us and to pass the peace of Christ. I welcome all of you here today, and it's a joy that we can be here worshiping the Lord together. And I encourage our visitors to please sign the guest pad that you'll find nearby so that we might know of your presence with us. Right after this time of worship, we'll be having a time for refreshments and fellowship right next door, and everybody's invited to come on over. I do want to call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. You'll find them in the bulletin insert. We're very grateful to have Sally Matson and her husband Bernie Resnick with us today, and they're also playing some beautiful music for us for our offertory, and we appreciate that so much. At this time, Jane Haskin wants to bring us some information.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Last Sunday, we elected elders and deacons and trustees and members of the nominating committee. Well, guess what? We have more spaces that we could put people in. So if you're interested, we can always use elders to help operate this church. They make the decisions in session as to worship times and personnel and property and just a wealth of things that keep the church going. Deacons, our deacons, though small in number, are fabulous in this church. They follow up with their members and they offer support in times of trouble. And that being said, I want to thank all of you for the love and the prayers and the support that I got over this last year with Bill's passing and my many health issues. To be an elder or a deacon, you must be a member of the church. So those of you on the fence, maybe that would be something you'd like to do. In addition to those officers, we also could use some volunteers in the office. We need some help with an informal audit. Somebody needs to be able to run a calculator, a couple people together, just to glance over our checkings accounts and make sure I'm staying in the middle of the road here. Also, the treasurer keeps records of donations made and those kind of things. So if you could offer us an hour a week or so, or every other week, or a couple times a month, it would be very helpful. Just call Dolly and let her know. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I want to say goodbye to the winter residents who I might miss. I'm leaving Thursday for a month to go visit brothers and sisters and grandkids. I'm still in the year of first, so it's first anniversary without Bill and first birthdays without Bill, and I'm going to be up with family. So I'll see you at Easter.
We're very happy to have an outreach to our young people and children in our community, and Koch is going to give us an update on this special mission.
I want to thank you, everybody show up yesterday. I want to call your name, Kate. Kay.
Stand up, please. Stand up. Everybody show up yesterday. Stand up.
I want to thank you, okay? If you know here, this event now could be so successful. And I want to thank the bird in my heart. I want to thank Camila, they come from outside. I want to thank my son, come too, for help us. It's beautiful. Yesterday is beautiful. Saw kids run outside and the neighbors show up for see what's going on. No, this is the reason for discovering day. For sure this church and do something. and do something for by love. This is by love. Nobody here is pay, gotta pay. This is coming volunteer people. I volunteer for almost 20 hours for doing this event. And the next one go to be next month, first Saturday, April 4th. Always go celebrate Easter. If you wanna show up, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Our first Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 121. It's found on page 571 in the Pew Bibles. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
Let us pray together our prayer of confession. Gracious God, we come before you in need of forgiveness and grace. You call us to trust in you completely, but we do not. We are timid and fearful as we follow your lead. We justify our actions and words, though we know that we are not what you require. We struggle to understand the new life Christ offers, preferring old habits to risky change. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to be born again in the life of Christ, trusting that you have included us by grace in the family of faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Through the grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that our sins are forgiven. Please be seated. We're now going to be singing our hymn of faith, and the hymn number is 450. 450, Be Thou My Vision. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful, bright Sunday. And we are confident that you are here to meet us. Sure that you have summoned us to this place of worship, praise, and prayer. Lord, we are also confident that you come to us, that you call us, and that you stand beside us in less inviting, in less beloved locations. At the bedside, during times of suffering and sickness, in the middle of difficult tragedy, when we have lost our way and life's journey has become unbearably confusing, when we feel very much alone and the sky is very dark, you come to us. You are the Lord of the night as well as the day. And we praise you, Lord, that you come to us. Speak to us. Show us the way, even in the night. Lord, because of you, we walk with confidence, sure that no matter how dark the night, you are there, especially there. Lord, we pray today for all those who are sick among us. And we pray for your blessing upon them and your healing touch. We pray for those who are sick at home and in our hospitals and nursing homes. Be with them, Lord, and watch over them as the Good Shepherd. Lord, we pray for all those who are struggling today in our midst, that you would give them guidance and hope. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray for the people in the Middle East, in Latin America, for our missionaries there who are seeking to provide aid and comfort. Lord, we pray for our men and women in the armed forces, that you'd watch over them and protect them and be with them each day. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our nation, that you would give them guidance and nation and watch over them and help them, Lord, to do the right thing. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us now, where others drift away, we pray, Lord, that we might continue to walk with you, that we would walk in your light. We pray all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, "The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Let us with grateful and cheerful hearts bring our offerings to the Lord." Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, and we pray now that you would bless our offerings and that they would be used to help with human need and also to share your love and good news with those who desperately need hope. Bless our offerings, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Thank the choir for that beautiful anthem, reminding us of God's love. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Hear the word of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Here ends the reading of our scripture lesson. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this story about Nicodemus and his visit to see Jesus. And we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds in a deeper way to understand the truths that you have for us in the scripture. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, I read a story about the flying Walendas in Sarasota, this very famous high wire group that's been around for generations, the flying Walendas. And they are known for going way up high on the high wire without a safety net. It's amazing. They've been doing this for years with the Ringling Brothers Circus. To think, you're up on the high wire, as high as the ceiling, and there is no safety net. Well, the family was rehearsing, and some of them fell just a month ago. And they were hurt, but they survived. There have been times when family members have not survived. I know for myself, I would want a net. But first of all, you wouldn't find me up there anyway on the high wire. But Nicodemus would have wanted a net. He was cautious to a fault. He was somebody that was so cautious. And that's why we see that he came to see Jesus at nighttime. He didn't want anybody to see him, his friends or his fellow Pharisees, because of what they might have thought. He was so cautious. And I want us to look at that today. Why was Nicodemus so cautious? I think one reason was that he lacked self-confidence. Somehow, he was a leader, but still, he didn't have confidence. There was a time when the Pharisees were talking about Jesus, and And Nicodemus spoke up and put in a good word for Jesus, saying, well, I've seen him do some good things. He was helping people. And they said, what are you talking about? There isn't anything good that comes out of Galilee. Has any prophet ever come out of Galilee? And at that moment, Nicodemus backed off. He didn't speak up anymore. And maybe because he was intimidated, he lacked confidence. Last night, I went to the Palm Beach Opera at Kravis Center. I was really happy. My daughter is one of the dancers in the opera. And she says, Dad, you'll never know what it's like to be right there where an opera singer is singing right in your face. Opera singers, I'm learning so much about opera. This is the second opera she's been in. They come out and they tell you at the beginning of the opera, there are no microphones here. Thousands of people, opera singers are on stage and they project up into the balcony. Can you imagine? And my daughter's in the first scene and the Duke is singing right into her face. She said, that's a loud voice. But she appreciates, the different characters in the opera who can sing like that. And the beautiful voices and the training that people have. The Palm Beach Post did an article on the young man who's playing the Duke, this very handsome young man. He's of Indian descent. He came to the United States when he was 3 years old. Eric Kumar. He's going on to sing at the Royal Opera. He sings for the New York City Opera. He goes all around. He came as a child from India. His mother gave him classical music lessons at the age of 8. And he had this wonderful gift for singing, this wonderful range. And it's amazing, he started out singing bass, and now he sings tenor. And he's got this wonderful range, this wonderful voice. And I appreciate so much Bernie and Sally and them sharing their gifts. I think what's amazing is that Alec Kumar is also an attorney. He's kept some of his clients, but he's keeping his, his day job, as if he needs it right now. I mean, he's one of the rising stars in opera. But they said, try to find somebody of Indian descent who's an attorney who's singing in major operas right now. They said, that's going to be like 1,000,000 to 1. But I want to say that he has confidence. That there must have been times when he was discouraged. Because sometimes in the world of opera and ballet, sometimes they say, you've got to be a certain type personality, a certain ethnic background or something like that. It makes it hard. It's sometimes hard to persevere. But he's persevered, and he's doing a wonderful job because he was able to have confidence. And what I think today is Nicodemus just didn't have that confidence. The second thing that I see with Nicodemus is that maybe he thought he was too old. It says he was. In the ancient Greek here, he was the teacher. And when you put the in front of an occupation, back in those ancient times, it meant that you were older. He was the teacher. Not just a teacher, he was the teacher. And maybe he felt that he wasn't keeping up with some of the younger Pharisees. Maybe he just felt a little bit intimidated. You know, sometimes they say, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. I remember one time I was at a nursing home and they had the volunteer choir and they couldn't get them lined up. They kept getting mixed up. And I remember the choir director, who was 90 years old, looked at me and said, right in the microphone, looking at them, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. I thought, wow, the way to become loved as a choir director, to say something like that. But you can learn new things. Everybody here, as we get older, we can go on, we can do new things, no matter what your age. Sometimes we might think, oh, we shouldn't be using our gifts anymore. You know, I love hearing that song from Beethoven. Here's Beethoven, almost blind, deaf. And do you know how he comforted people? Beethoven went, and he would, when somebody died, he would be so overwhelmed, he didn't know what to say, but he'd sit down at the piano and play like what we heard today at worship. And it just is so peaceful and so comforting. That was his gift. Even when you're older, you can bring comfort to somebody. You can use your gifts to bring them peace and love. The other thing I see with Nicodemus is that he needed to surround himself with some positive people. The Pharisees were known for being very negative, very critical. They were always looking to see if you were following the laws. And there was certainly a place for that at that time to help people stay focused, but sometimes they went a little bit overboard. And sometimes they could be maybe a little too negative. And he needed to find some people that might be more encouraging and more positive. I mean, he was very open-minded. He wanted to find out more about Jesus. And maybe if he had surrounded himself with more positive people, he could have been of more help to Jesus. When I served my church in Ocala, in that area, there was an elder in my church named George Albright. And George was always going to teach me about the ways of the world. And my wife Ann used to say, I don't know if George is a good influence on you or not, but I love spending time with George. And George, one time, we had a project where we were going to raise some money to help some needy children in our community. And George, you know, said, you come with me. And he had a very, very big real estate business. He said, we're going to take the day off. Not that we're taking a day off, but we're going to devote the day to doing some fundraising. And I'm going to teach you some things. And so we got in his Jeep, and we rode through the orange groves and through the little towns nearby. And George had a way of talking people into making donations. I mean, he just had that gift that you weren't going to go away empty-handed. And so we would drive around and we were collecting gifts from places. And sometimes we didn't get much from some people, but still they were involved. They were giving something. And some people were very generous. They'd give a check of a couple hundred dollars. Some we'd go to carpet places. Okay, I'll throw in a free carpet. Somebody wants their living room with new carpeting, here's a gift certificate. It was amazing the things that George was able to get. And And George was a character. He would say, I'm saving the best for last. And it was a place that was a place where they distributed oil. And we go in there, and there was this beautiful young woman who greeted George. And that's why he thought this was the greatest place of all. He said, oh, George, you're back again. You're back again. And she said, George, I know you're here to raise some money to help the children. And the owner told me that when you come by, that he will give you a quart of oil. And George said, a quart of oil? He said, and he'd say, come on. He said, come on, you know you can do better than that. Go back there and get me a case. And she'd go back there, and she brought back this big case of oil. And she says, here, George. And we left with a case of oil. And I always thought that was the most amazing thing, that he was positive. He would get on the phone, and he would be persistent with people. He had that wonderful spirit, and he could laugh and just have the most wonderful time with other people. Nicodemus needed to surround himself with positive people, just as you all need to do that. Sometimes we get pulled down if we're just surrounded by people who don't laugh, who are very negative. And that's what we need. That's what Nicodemus needed. I wish that Nicodemus could have heard Jesus say, Nicodemus, you are the light of the world. Nicodemus, you are the salt of the earth. Nicodemus needed to hear those things. But we hear them today, don't we? All of us hear those words because Jesus says to you, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You add flavor. You can make a difference. So be positive. Be confident. And go forward. And do great things for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you promise to always walk with us and that you call us to use our gifts and to press forward in this world. Help us to be your faithful disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us join now in singing our hymn of dedication, Why Should I Feel Discouraged? And now may the grace and the peace and the love of Jesus Christ go with you all. Amen.